Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
1, 2, 3, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to the All Elite Podcast, exclusively here on the WWE Podcast. My name is Jeff Johnson. I am your host. We are going to break down AEW Dynamite from this week and also give a little bit of news going around in the world of, I guess, the elite world of all Elite Wrestling. Before we get started, though, I want to make sure you guys have checked out Matt and Chris's shows from earlier this week. Matt dropped a breakdown of Monday Night Raw, and Chris dropped his great breakdown of NXT. I've listened to both shows. I am new to the podcast, but I've listened to both of them, and both shows are incredible. I really enjoy them. They are great listens. So if you guys have not checked out those, make sure you guys download those episodes and listen to them. Remember, guys, to subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, whether it be Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Pandora, you know, wherever you guys get all your podcasting platforms, you guys can subscribe to the WWE Podcast. So make sure you guys do that and also check out Chris and Matt's shows. They're really good. All right, guys, let's get into it. Before we get into AEW Dynamite, though, let's get into a couple of news items going around. One of the big things going on that dropped earlier today, as we're recording this, is that MJF was doing a meet and greet signing and actually gave the finger to a 7-year-old. And it turns out the dad was not a big fan of that and went and complained to Cody on Twitter about it. And Cody replied and said that they were going to pretty much give them a VIP treatment of a future show that they're, you know, in a town that they're close to, they live in. I don't know. Like, I see what the issue is. I mean, it is a 7-year-old kid, and you kind of got to take certain things, you know, and certain things you do, certain things you don't do towards a 7-year-old, especially with something like professional wrestling. But you got to realize what and who MJF is, what kind of character he is, the way he presents himself out in public, you know, in front of a camera, inside of a ring. He is in character all the time, no matter what he is doing. I think this is fine. I know if it was my 7-year-old, I would have laughed it off, and I would have, you know, maybe that's the time you explain to your kid, hey, you know, it's a work, and you know, this guy is being a character and being a heel, for lack of a better term, I guess. And you know, you got to explain it to him. So I don't think I personally would have went and complained about it. I think I'd have kind of laughed it off, but I could see how the dad would get upset about it. But you know, it's MJF, and you just got to know what you're getting yourself into when you walk up to his table and you're asking for an autograph, or you're asking to take a picture, or for him to say something. He's going to be MJF. He's going to do exactly what he does. So I thought it's hilarious. I thought it was very, very funny. And it's just MJF being arguably the best heel in the company right now. So I'm okay with it. And hopefully this whole thing passes over. There's not any repercussions for him doing this. And, you know, it's just MJF being MJF. So we'll see what happens with it. But hopefully nothing too serious comes out of it. Okay, so the ratings are in for the Wednesday Night War. AEW has defeated NXT in the ratings 906,000 to 718,000. While that might sound like a good number, I'm actually going to kind of go a different direction here with all this. I am happy that AEW won the ratings war. I know they've won quite a bit of them, but this was an episode that I was actually expecting it to be closer to that 1 million mark. I actually put a tweet out with a poll early on Wednesday asking everybody, what do you guys think about them getting past 1 million viewers this week? Because you had the bad Saudi Arabia show for WWE last week. You had the great Revolution pay-per-view this past Saturday. And then all the whole Matt Hardy thing going on, which is the next thing I'm going to transition to in the news. But the whole Matt Hardy thing with him possibly either going to AEW, going somewhere else, you know, his thing talking about just that his career's taken a different trajectory. And a lot of people expected him to be in AEW. So with all that going on, I thought, man, maybe this is the week that AEW finally breaks a million, because it just, all the planets kind of aligned, everything kind of worked out. And I thought that it would. Well, they hit 906,000, which is a good number and is one of the best numbers they've done. But I'm a little disappointed, though, because I expect them to hit that 1 million mark. And I know they have some things going on behind the scenes, bringing in some new talent that could possibly bring in some new eyeballs and some new viewers. So I do think they're going to hit that 1 million mark fairly soon. I'm surprised it didn't happen with this one. I thought this would be the main one, because I figured this show would be closer to kind of a day after WrestleMania type of show. Maybe not to that extent, but with Cody saying that he feels like Revolution, once, you know, they want Revolution to be their WrestleMania, I figured this could be a Dynamite that would be close to that. But that's not quite what we got, though. And I guess other fans didn't take it that way either. So 906,000 is good. It is nothing to be upset about. But I was expecting a little bit more. But, you know, congrats to AEW for winning the ratings war this week, and hopefully they do hit 1 million sooner than later. All right, so the last thing I'm going to touch on before we get into Dynamite, guys, is we touched on it a few minutes ago about Matt Hardy. Well, Matt Hardy's series finale for his YouTube show, Free the Delete, was released on Wednesday, and it had a very special cameo at the end of it. Matt Hardy walks out of the Hardy compound to the gate, and an Escalade shows up. Well, who gets out of the Escalade but the Young Bucks do? And Nick Jackson said, "Matt, what's going on?" And Matt looks at him and said, "Bucks of Youth, I knew you would come." And so this started this whirlwind on social media that, okay, Matt Hardy is AEW bound, that he's met with the Young Bucks and he's on his way. I'm not 100% sure if that's the case yet, though, guys. Matt Hardy has had an extensive history with the Young Bucks. He and Jeff have done stuff with the Young Bucks back when they were in Ring of Honor together. They've done all kinds of things, and he could still do stuff with the Young Bucks and not technically be a part of AEW. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a free agent. He can pretty much do what he wants. Do I think he will end up in AEW? I do. I do think that's going to be his destination once it's all said and done. But I don't know if it's going to be as soon as everybody's kind of thinking. People were expecting Matt Hardy to be on Dynamite this week, and he wasn't. And you know, me personally, I'm sitting back there going, well, it's not going to be that soon. They're going to play it off, and they're going to make everybody wait, because AEW has been doing a lot of mysterious things lately, making people guess, keep them on the edge of their seat about what's going on. And this is going to be no different. Matt could be the Exalted One, which is what a lot of people are thinking. He could be associated with a certain legend that showed up on Dynamite this week, which we're going to get into here in a little bit as well. There's different things that Matt Hardy could do, and I think sooner than later we will find out what's going on with him. But I do think AEW is going to slow play this. I think Matt Hardy's going to slow play this as well. I could see Matt Hardy releasing something with him meeting with Anthem from Impact. I could see him meeting with a couple of wrestlers or you know, somebody higher up in New Japan. I could see that happening. I really could. Just to throw everybody off, make everybody think, you know, or not know where he's going or what he's going to do. That's just what Matt Hardy does. Matt Hardy is a genius, and he knows how to promote himself, and he knows how to make angles into big deals. He's been doing it his entire career. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and I told him, hey, remember back in 2001, 2002, when Matt Hardy was doing the internet stuff, when nobody really even knew what the internet was? Matt Hardy's always been that. He's always been a guy that's ahead of the curve and always made things better than they should be, because as great as the broken gimmick is, it's very weird, and it's something that a lot of people don't get, and it is very, very out there. But Matt Hardy portrays it so well that he makes it into a great gimmick. So Matt Hardy and the Young Bucks and everybody in AEW, they know what they're doing right now. And when Matt Hardy does debut, if and when he does debut on AEW, it's going to be a big deal. And it's going to be a slow play, but I don't think we're going to have to wait too terribly long. I think we'll know something maybe within the next couple of weeks. So keep your eyes out for what's going on with Matt Hardy. All right, guys. Well, with that being said, let's get into this week's AEW Dynamite. I thought this was a pretty good show. You know, maybe I was expecting a little more out of it. There was a lot of promos on this show. It was very promo heavy, which coming out of a big pay-per-view, I can see that because you're going to start setting up new feuds. You're going to be setting up new teams, as we saw, all kinds of things. So it was a very newsworthy episode, and let's dive right into it, guys. So AEW was live from Broomfield, Colorado, right outside of Denver, for the 22nd edition of AEW Dynamite. The show started with the new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Jon Moxley. Moxley came out, and it was very similar to the promo that he cut at the end of Revolution last Saturday. He was really thanking the fans for their support, saying that the title means, you know, it's not just his, it's theirs, and, you know, just being a super big babyface about everything. And of course, that's a great spot for him. The fans just love this guy. They eat up every single thing that he says. But he was interrupted by Chris Jericho and the entire Inner Circle. Jericho came out saying that he doesn't need a belt to be Le Champion, which I'm actually glad that he said that because I had the same thought as well. And I hope he keeps using the Le Champion moniker even when he's not the champion, because that's such a Chris Jericho thing to do. So I hope he does keep that going. But Jericho pretty much put the entire AEW on notice, saying that pretty much everybody, you know, Moxley's pissed him off, and they're going to be running roughshod over everybody until Jericho pretty much gets back with what's his. Jericho did make a promise that if Moxley walks out of Dynamite on his own power, he will pretty much take himself away for 60 days, that he will not be seen for 60 days, and that Moxley won't have to deal with him. You know, when he made that stipulation, my first thought was, okay, Moxley's going to get through this. He's gonna get out because Jericho's got the Fozzy tour coming up. And, you know, this would be a good way to kind of write Jericho off a little bit. But we'll get into exactly what happened in the main event a little bit later. But when Jericho threw that out there, that was kind of my first thought, was that, okay, well, maybe Jericho's going to take a little time off. So going to the main event, that's the mindset that I had. But it was a great promo by both guys. I really enjoyed it. Jericho's still at the top of his game. Moxley's doing a great job as the champion. You know, he's the big baby face. He's got so much support from the crowd. I thought this was really good. I thought this was a very, very good promo by two of the best. And especially Jericho. Jericho showing just how good he really is, man. One of the best in the world. All right, so after that, we got an 8-man tag team match between SoCal Uncensored and Colt Cabana versus the Dark Order, which consisted of Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds. It was good to see Colt Cabana again. I had read earlier this week that he had signed a full-time contract with AEW, which is great because Colt Cabana is a guy that has just – he's worked from the ground up to get to where he's at. He's, you know, you can say what you want. You can say what you want about the whole controversy with him and CM Punk and the podcast back in 2014. Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are Team Punk, a lot of people that are Team Cabana about the whole thing. It's a situation we could talk about another time, but seeing Colt Cabana in a ring is great because I've been a fan of his podcast since not long after it launched, and I've been following forever. Honestly, guys, I haven't seen him in the ring a lot. I've seen a little bit of Ring of Honor stuff, but not really much. So seeing him in a ring in AEW, I was very, very happy. And pairing him with SoCal Uncensored was great too, because I love SCU. And, you know, we talked about the Dark Order during the Revolution post-show a couple days ago, where they're kind of on the top of the news when it comes to AEW because of this whole Exalted thing. And everybody's wondering, who is the Exalted one? And there's some names being thrown out there. The aforementioned Matt Hardy is one of them. I know Brody Lee, the former Harper, is another name. Christopher Daniels is in this, is a name that people are throwing out there. So, you know, the Dark Order is really starting to gain some traction with this. And if the reveal of the Exalted One ends up being as big as everybody makes it out to be, it's going to be a big deal for the Dark Order. So this is a good match with all four guys. And one thing that I wanted to point out about this match is how great the hot tag is from Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian has one of the best hot tags in wrestling today. Just the way he flies around the ring, his timing, you know, his strikes on everybody is just top notch, man. Frankie Kazarian is an amazing, amazing worker. And I know he's getting up there in age a little bit, but he's still doing some of the best stuff of his career. When he joined AEW, you could tell it really revitalized his career quite a bit. And him doing, him show, you know, showing his athleticism on these hot tags would really stands out for me. You know, he got the hot tag and everything kind of started falling apart. Well, then, so Colt Cabana tagged in and was able to hit the Chicago Skyline Slam, which is pretty much Cabana standing on the top rope with the guy on his shoulders and a fireman's carry. And then he drops the guy off of his shoulder, sternum first on the top turnbuckle. It looks very painful. And then Cabana hits this running Superman pin that was very impressive. I've never seen him or anybody do something like that before, but it was very impressive and got the win for SoCal Uncensored and Colt Cabana. And I thought this was a really good match. It's very action-packed. It was very fast-paced. You know, the Dark Order, even though they are kind of on the top of the news thing, they're still not quite taken as a strong threat yet. At least not in the minds of what I've heard of a lot of AEW fans. I think they're getting there, but I think it's still going to take a bit, and them bringing the Exalted One is going to help out a lot. I just, it's going to take a little more. I like their gimmick. I like some of the stuff that they do, but they haven't had that moment yet that really makes them into a huge threat. But I do think that's going to change once the Exalted One, you know, presents himself. And speaking of that, after the match, Evil Uno got on the mic and said that the Exalted One is not going to be happy about this, and when he gets there, heads will roll. Which is kind of what I was just saying, is that I feel like the Dark Order is going to take a big step once the Exalted One does reveal himself, which I think is going to be very, very soon, which in the next couple of weeks. So be ready, guys. Be ready, guys, for a lot of Dark Order going forward, because they're going to be a big, you know, integral part of Dynamite, especially once the Exalted One gets there. But overall, I thought this was a good match. I really enjoyed it. All right, so after this, we got a women's division match between Big Swole and Leva Bates. You know, there wasn't really a whole lot to this match. It was pretty much a showcase match for Big Swole. Leva Bates, I don't like the J word, so, you know, I'm not going to say the J word, but her and Peter Avalon have pretty much got into a point where they're enhancement talent. They're the ones putting over the up-and-coming talent. Big Swole is probably going to be the next one to go against Nyla Rose. And I think the match will be okay. I think, you know, it's going to be more of a strength against strength than, you know, more than Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander was. Statlander has, you know, a little more, what's the word? A little more pizzazz, I guess, you know, than Big Swole does. Big Swole's just mostly strength, and she's ridiculously strong. So she's going to be able to match Nyla Rose strength for strength. So I think it'll be a good match. But the match here was just pretty much a showcase match for Big Swole to get her ready, because I figured that match with Nyla Rose is coming up very, very soon. So after this, we got a video package showing MJF's win over Cody at Revolution. I thought it was a great match. I know some people kind of didn't like it, but I thought it was great storytelling, and I loved it. I thought it was an absolutely great match, and I think the right person went over. I would have picked MJF to go over in that match too, just to kind of continue the storyline. So I really enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed the match from Revolution a lot. Let's see. All right, so Cody comes out to cut a promo, and he is pretty much just talking about the match and how he's sorry for the loss and everything. Well, not long into his promo, he is cut off by some music we've never heard before. And they show the ramp and show the screen, and Jake the Snake Roberts' name shows up. And as soon as his name shows up, the crowd goes nuts. And Jake comes out looking great. Jake looks like he, you know, is the healthiest he's been in a really long time. He walks down to the ring, and, you know, when he comes to the ring, you're sitting there thinking, all right, here comes the legend to give the pep talk to Cody, to show Cody, hey, you know, don't give up, you know, keep your head up, and you'll get to where you're going, and eventually, you know, you'll get your hands on MJF and stuff like that. Well, that is not what we got. That is not what we that's not what we got at all. Jake Roberts cut a promo on Cody. He cut a Jake Roberts promo on Cody, and it was very, very good. A couple of the highlights of it, he pretty much told Cody he's tired of listening to him cry about certain things, and he's not there to praise Cody. He's there to slay him. And, you know, that kind of caught myself and the crowd, kind of caught us off guard. We weren't expecting that. Jake said that it's been 20 years for him to get clean and sober, and he's finally got it. And you know, he is back in the world of wrestling. And if somebody thinks that he's just going to play nice, then they don't know who Jake Roberts is. They got another thing coming. The main thing out of this is that he said that he has a client that he wants to face Cody. And that got everybody thinking, okay, well, it's kind of another mystery angle. Who is this client that Jake Roberts has? Roberts took a shot at Arn Anderson, calling him a one-trick pony, which I thought was good because, you know, that's going to make an interaction between Roberts and Arn Anderson probably during this match mean a little more because Roberts is making it personal. I thought this was a really, really good promo. We haven't seen Jake Roberts in this type of environment in a long time, but I thought he looked very comfortable out there. It was a great, great promo. And at the end of it, Roberts told Cody, he's not here in AEW to take the whole pie. He's here just to take Cody's share. So obviously Jake Roberts is eyeing Cody. Cody's the one he's going for. That's it. Which seems like to be what happens for a lot of people either debuting or coming in to the organization, because we saw that with Butcher and the Blade, and now we're seeing this with Jake Roberts and whoever his client is that's going to be coming in. It's going to be going against Cody. So, yeah, this was great. This was a great, great promo by Jake Roberts. And Cody did the right thing by not saying anything. He just kind of stood there and took it. He was kind of dumbfounded about everything that Jake said. And that's the way it should have been. Cody played this to perfection, and I love the way he did it. As to who the client could be, there's a couple names out there, kind of very similar to the Exalted One. It's kind of the same list of guys. I know Lance Archer's coming in soon. He was announced to actually be on the show, but unfortunately he wasn't on it. But he's making his debut soon. Brody Lee, who is the former Harper, we talked about him possibly being the Exalted One. He could also be the client for Jake, which me personally, I think I like that better. I like Brody Lee being with Jake Roberts because Brody has not been the greatest promo. He's okay when he was Harper. We heard a few promos for him. But having a mouthpiece like Jake Roberts in your corner, that would be huge for him. And I would love Brody Lee being like just this killer that's got the maniacal Jake Roberts in his corner. I think that makes a lot of sense. That would be really, really good. So Jake didn't give a timeline on when we would know who the client is, but we will find out very, very soon though. So if I had a guess, I would say it's probably going to be Lance Archer, but I would love if it was Brody Lee, but we'll see. And it's going to be either way. I like both guys, and whoever he debuts or brings in, it's going to be a big deal going against Cody. So after this, we got the entrance of Pac. Pac's going to be going one-on-one with Best Friends member Chuck Taylor. As we know, Pac fought Orange Cassidy at Revolution this weekend. It was one of the sleeper matches, in my opinion. I didn't go into that match with very high expectations, and it really delivered. It was a lot of fun. and we learned a lot about Orange Cassidy. And we also showed how great Pac is. Pac is just absolutely incredible. He's an amazing wrestler, amazing athlete. And now we got to see Pac go against Chuck Taylor. This match, it was pretty good. I've been a little critical of Chuck Taylor matches in the past because I have thought that Trent's the bigger star and Trent's the better wrestler, but Chucky T really impressed me in this match. And you know, a lot of it is going against Pac because Pac is pretty much good against everybody. But this match was very, very good. Chuck had a couple of moments where it looked like he could win, but Pac was able to find a way to overcome a left on the brutalizer and got the victory right around 10 minutes or so. I mentioned this on the Revolution show that I'm a huge Pac fan. I've been a fan of his for a very, very long time. And I like the Best Friends also. I've came to really, really start digging them over the last couple of months. And I do think there's a big Pac versus Orange Cassidy match coming up sooner than later. But before that, we learned about some a new group that's getting put together here. Pac was looking like he's about to attack Chuck E. T. some more. So Trent got in the ring, got in Pac's face. Well, then Cassidy kind of pushed Trent out of the way and got in Pac's face. Well, when this happened, the Lucha Bros hit the ring and hit a double super kick on Cassidy and started cleaning house. The Lucha Bros ended up teaming up with Pac to completely take out all members of the Best Friends. Pac got on the mic and said that the three of them are now known as the Death Triangle. So it looks like these three guys are going to be a faction going forward. I know some people don't consider three member teams a faction. I do. I always kind of have. Ever since the NWO, I guess, because when Hall, Nash, and Hogan were the only three, I considered them a faction. So I've always been like that, that I think three-man groups are factions. But I really like this group a lot. I'm a big fan of the Lucha Bros, especially Pentagon. I've been a fan of his for a long time. This is a very exciting trio here because all three guys are high flyers. They're all three great wrestlers. I think Pac and Phoenix are two of the best high flyers in the world. And now you put them together and this is going to be a very, very dominant trio. I am starting to wonder if maybe they're going to be introducing some trio titles soon because, you know, we got the Best Friends. We got this team now. You could throw the guys from the Inner Circle in. You could throw the guys from the Elite in. You know, once the Exalted One shows up and some more members go into the Dark Order, you can make a three-man team out of that. They're there. The three-man group is there. SCU, of course, they're a three-man team. I'm starting to wonder if we got six-man tag team titles coming soon because it's really starting to feel like AEW is putting a spotlight on three-man teams. So I'd be okay with that. And I think Pac and the Lucha Bros would be a great team to start with those six-man tag team titles. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they're coming. But I had a guess. I would say they probably are. All right, so after this, we got technically the Dynamite in-ring debut of Jake Hager, where Jake Hager went one-on-one with QT Marshall. If you've seen a QT Marshall match in the past, you've kind of seen what this type of match was. He's very fun to watch. But he's kind of that big-time underdog where he gets his moves in and the crowd goes nuts for it. But eventually the guy that he's fighting gets the best of him and wins the match. And that's pretty much what we got here. The match didn't go long, but Hager ended up winning with the standing arm triangle. And then after the match, he started holding it on too long. And then that made Dustin get in the ring, which led to Santana Ortiz getting into the ring. Cody came out to make the save. Matt Jackson came out. It just became a huge cluster inside the ring between the Elite and the Inner Circle. I noticed that Nick Jackson was not there, and he talked about on Being the Elite this week that his wife is pregnant and going to be having her child at any day now. So congratulations and thoughts to Nick Jackson and his family on their newborn child, and hopefully everybody's happy and healthy and the birth goes without a hitch. But back to Dynamite. This ended up becoming a pretty nice brawl between both teams. But Hangman Page came out and the crowd went nuts when he did. This guy, man, you saw it at Revolution and this tonight was the same way. Hangman Page is absolutely over with the crowd. He came in and put his beer, he had a beer in his hand, and he put his beer on the ring post, and Jim Ross was kind of making it out to be, well, what side is Hangman on? Who, you know, who's he going to help? Is he going to help the Elite? Is he going to help the Inner Circle? That was kind of the story that Jim Ross was trying to tell on commentary. Well, Hangman puts the beer down and attacks the Inner Circle, and he starts knocking down Santana and Ortiz, and he looked great, and he got a huge, huge pop for it. He ended up hitting the buckshot lariat on Hager, and Hager sold this lariat great. And I thought it was a very, very impressive move. So the Inner Circle bails. But the newsworthy thing to come out of this is that after it happened, Matt Jackson started talking to Paige. Paige turned around and gave him the finger and then jumped out of the ring. And Matt ended up grabbing like six or seven beers from fans. Not Matt, I'm sorry. Hangman Page ended up grabbing six or seven beers from some fans around the ring and walks to the back. But obviously there's still a lot of issues here between Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. And this is even a little more than we saw at Revolution because Heyman didn't really do anything negative towards the Bucks, especially post-match. And the one thing that we saw is that he was going to potentially attack Cody. But this one, I mean, he was straightforward. I mean, he walked right up to Matt Jackson, put the middle finger in his face, and then walked away. So they are not hiding anything that there's issues between Hangman and the Elite, and especially the Young Bucks. So we'll see where this goes. This is still one of the big mysteries of AEW, is that where does Hangman Page stand? Is he you know, part of the Elite? Is it just him and Kenny? Does he have alternative motives? Which obviously, from the tease we saw Revolution, he does have alternative motives. But what is exactly his game plan? Like, where is he going? What is he going to do? I don't know. I'm kind of surprised it's went this far and this long. I thought we'd kind of know something by now, but we don't. And it makes for a better story. So we'll see where Heyman goes. I think it's another one of those things. I've said this quite a few times. I think this is something we're going to know sooner than later, especially probably by Double or Nothing. I think we're going to know exactly where Heyman Page lies. So after this, we got a pre-taped promo by MJF. MJF talked about defeating Cody and how this was the final chapter of Cody's little odyssey. It was funny that Wardlow was standing behind MJF as he was cutting this promo. MJF said, "Oh, it's starting to get hot in here." And Wardlow helped MJF take off his jacket, and MJF had a shirt on that said, "I pinned Cody." And so it was such an MJF moment. And this is a great promo by him. I said earlier, guys, MJF is one of the best, if not the best, heel in all of wrestling right now, because it's not just a role to him. And this is something that he takes very, very seriously. He doesn't want to be known as a cool heel. He wants to be known as the guy that you hate. And that's exactly what he is. So, you know, one thing I do want to mention that also in this promo is that he did mention AEW World Heavyweight Champion Jon Moxley, which is great, because I said on the Revolution show that I hope this comes down to Moxley versus MJF, because I think it's a natural matchup. It'll be a natural build between both guys. You have the kind of everyman in Jon Moxley versus the cocky heel, you know, rich guy heel in MJF. I mean, it's a perfect matchup. And MJF told Moxley straight up, you know, "I'm coming for your title, but I don't care if it's you. I don't care if it's Cody. It doesn't matter to him who he is. He's going to become the AEW World Champion." So MJF has title intentions, which is great, because he's at that point where, in my opinion, he should be looking that way. I don't know if Moxley is going to be his next feud particularly. But if it's not him, I don't know who it's going to be, because since Cody's going to be moving on to Jake Roberts and whoever his client is, then I think it's kind of it's time for MJF to move on too. I do wish that this feud was going to go on a little bit longer, but it looks like they are going to get away from it. But they could always, MJF versus Cody is going to be that natural feud that you can do at any time. If you need something for Cody to do, something for MJF to do, you throw them together and you let them feud for a couple months. And you could do that probably for the rest of their careers. That they're just both in that spot and they both have that type of chemistry together. So, you know, it's okay that they go do other things. Excuse me, I couldn't talk there. It'd be okay if they went and did other things for the time being. So we'll see where they go with MJF. He's definitely up there in that title contention now. So him and Moxley could definitely be a possibility. All right, so it's main event time, guys. The main event of this show is Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin and AEW World Heavyweight Champion Jon Moxley. This is a great matchup with, you know, the veterans teaming with the upstart, really over young guys, I guess, for lack of a better term. Because Darby Allin is an absolute star right now. The crowd is going nuts for this guy. You see fans everywhere dressed in the face paint. You see, you know, people just going absolutely crazy for this guy. And it's awesome, because this is a legitimate star that AEW has made themselves. And that was the big question about AEW for the longest time, is are they going to be able to make new stars? And Darby Allin is a great example. So is Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara has become one of those heels that you love to hate because of his selling ability, his cockiness, the way he is in the ring. Sammy Guevara has become a big star also. And a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, with the Inner Circle and Chris Jericho also. They've given him a great rub. But Sammy has definitely taken it and run with it. He's became one of the bigger heels and bigger stars in AEW. So this was a fun tag team matchup, especially with, you know, the way both teams are. So before the match got started, Moxley was coming to the ring, and Moxley got jumped by a couple of guys in AEW hoodies and masks. And they took him off, and it turns out to be the Inner Circle. And they completely beat down Moxley in the corridor. And Jake Hager ended up putting a head and arm choke on Moxley to choke him out. And what that did is that left Darby Allin by himself in the ring against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. So this ended up turning out to be a handicap match, and this was a really, really fun match. Darby Allin started off on fire, attacking both guys. He looked very, very impressive. But then the rest of the Inner Circle came around the ring, and Excalibur even said, well, this 2-on-1 handicap match just became a 5-on-1 match. And they kind of started wondering if Darby could get through this. Well, Jericho and Guevara ended up taking over, and they took over through most of the match. But toward the end, Allin was able to fight back. He ended up hitting a flipping stunner on Sammy, went up top and hit a coffin drop. And almost got a three count. It was very, very close, but Jericho was able to slide in and break it up. It was a great near fall. Crowd went nuts for it. One of the main talking point to come out of this match, though, was right at the end of the match. Darby Allin went for a suicide dive, and Jericho ended up hitting a Judas Effect elbow to Darby Allin in midair and knocked him out cold, pretty much. Well, there's some reports after Dynamite that Darby Allin had to go to the hospital because of this. I don't know. I haven't heard if it's kayfabe or not, if he legitimately got hurt and had to go, or if this was just putting over, you know, the devastation of the elbow in the spot. I don't know. I haven't heard, so I'm not 100% sure if it's legit. I think it is legit, if I had a guess, but I'm not 100% sure, though. But Jericho hit that elbow. Darby Allin fell to the ground like a lump. It was kind of a nasty landing. Jericho rolls him in and gets the pinfall for his team. So I thought it was a very, very good match. I thought Darby Allin showed a lot of heart. Sammy Guevara got the pin. I'm sorry, not Jericho. Sammy Guevara got the pin. But this was a good showcase match for Darby Allin. He, like I said, he's a big star. He took on both guys. One of them being, you know, the AEW champion former AEW champion that just lost the title. And Darby showed that he belonged against both guys. And this guy is going to be a main event player for a very, very long time. But, you know, this capped off a pretty decent night for the Inner Circle. As they're celebrating the ring, Moxley comes out with a chair and comes to the ring. But the numbers game gets to him. And Hager ends up hitting Ortiz from behind, knocking him out of the ring, drags him up the stage, and the entire Inner Circle end up hitting a big powerbomb off the stage through a table to Moxley. So Moxley's laid out to end the show, which is exactly what Jericho said he was going to do at the beginning of the show. And so Jericho does not have to leave for 60 days because he made the promise that Moxley would not leave on his own accord, and he didn't. And one of the last visuals they showed was all five members of the Inner Circle standing up on the stage, flipping off Moxley as he's laying there through the tables, which, you know, I thought was a really good visual because that's kind of Moxley's attitude, you know, don't care about anything and, you know, live by that moniker. So it was the Inner Circle pretty much telling him, you know, we don't care about you either. And we're not playing around anymore. We're taking over. So it was a great night for the Inner Circle. They looked strong. They got a lot of heat. The crowd was booing them, which is a great sign. And something I love about the Inner Circle and Chris Jericho in particular is that they have this whole thing going on where the crowd likes to cheer Chris Jericho. Or not cheer, I'm sorry. They like to sing a song when he comes out, and they cheer. They do cheer him when he comes out. But the Inner Circle is so conniving and so backstabbing that by the time it's all said and done, the crowd's against him and they're booing him, you know, booing Jericho and the entire Inner Circle. So that was a great spot and a great way to end the show with some heat on the Inner Circle. So guys, overall, I thought Dynamite was a very, very good show. I didn't think it was it was quite as good as some of the lead-up shows to Revolution, especially the go-home show. Revolution last week was incredible. It was an awesome show. I thought this one was okay, though. It was definitely a fun 2 hours of wrestling. I really, really enjoyed it, and I thought it was a good job of showcasing guys like Darby Allin and continuing some storylines and making some new ones. Getting the surprise of Jake Roberts was really, really cool. I wasn't expecting that. Not many people were, and you know, we get another surprise coming in. You know, who's the client of Jake Roberts? We got the Exalted One for the Dark Order. Who's that going to be? I mean, a lot of questions in AEW that's really keeping people on the edge of their seat, and that's great because that's going to get people to tune in next week and to see what's going on. So overall, very, very productive, very good show of AEW Dynamite, guys. If you guys haven't checked it out, make sure you guys go give it a watch. It was a good show, very good wrestling show from top to bottom. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me for tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thanks again to WWE Podcast for giving me the opportunity to do this. I'll be doing this once a week for you guys, break down AEW Dynamite, given the news and happenings around the organization. And, of course, anytime there's a pay-per-view, we're going to be doing a breakdown of that too. So with that being said, guys, I appreciate it. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter. I'm at RunWithTurtles. Like I said, it's a very odd name, but it is my moniker for my Twitch gaming channel. So make sure you guys follow me on Twitter. If you guys have any questions, you guys want to talk about anything, whether it comes to AEW or anything in wrestling in general, you guys can message me. I watch all the products. So, you know, hit me up. I'm easy to get a hold of. So, all right, guys, with that being said, I'm done rambling. I hope you guys have a great night and a great rest of the week, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Take care.